Be together this evening. Hope that you've been having a good Lord's Day, maybe a restful afternoon, perhaps, anyways. I hope that's been the case for you all. We're going to be in Nahum tonight, so you can be opening your Bibles up to Nahum. Continue to work through the minor prophets. Nahum's kind of buried there in the minor prophets there towards the end of the Old Testament. So need some help finding it. That's okay. If you have to look at the table of contents, that's okay. We're going to jump right into this. It's three chapters, and it's kind of a gory three chapters in many ways. We're not going to read all of Nahum, but we're going to read a good chunk of it tonight. And so we're going to move through it rather quickly tonight. So starting in verse 1 of chapter 1, it says this: A prophecy concerning Nineveh, the book of the vision of Nahum the Elkoshite. So the book of Nineveh was likely written between 663 BC and 612 BC. And this was between the times of the fall of Thebes, I think I'm pronouncing that right, and Nineveh, which they were conquered by the Babylonians around 612 BC. So that's the kind of time that we're talking about here. It's likely that this message was proclaimed shortly before the capital of Assyria, Nineveh, was destroyed. That's what we're working with time-wise. Of course, we know that during this time in history, there was all kinds of chaos taking place. It was a tumultuous time in many ways. Of course, the Assyrians had gained the reputation of being a very powerful people. They had a very strong, brutal military. They wreaked havoc on the surrounding nations. They were, again, ruthless in their treatment of people. Many times when they would go into the surrounding nations and conquer them, they would take people back to their own land to work for them and things like that. And so their treatment of people was not very caring at all. It was very brutal, very, very ruthless. Of course, it says this is the book of the vision. We see this oftentimes in the prophets and other places in the Old Testament. People had visions, and these were visions of God. And so it may have been that Nahum had this vision of God, God speaking to him, God giving him words to say, and then Nahum would go on and proclaim the message that he gained from God in the vision to the people. So this is very much an inspired message of God. As a matter of fact, Nahum, as he proclaims, and we see this with many of the prophets, as they're proclaiming their message, this thus saith the Lord, it is truly the word of God to the people. This is kind of a quick little outline of the book of Nahum. So what we're going to look at tonight, 1, 2 through 11, this sets forth who God is. Once again, we're going to hear about the God of justice, one who is patient, has might and strength, is zealous for his mission, is good inside and out. So that's the first part. Move into chapter 2, verses 1 through 13. It's going to describe the destruction of Nineveh. It's going to talk about the blood-covered troops that were destroying Nineveh. Again, this is gory. If you're into war history and things like that, you might eat this up, because it's just Nahum, and the way that he describes what's taking place is a wordsmith. I mean, he just draws powerful pictures of what's taking place. Chapter 3, 1 through 7, there is a message that's spoken over Nineveh. It's in this, it's giving an example of the ruthless treatment of Nineveh to the surrounding nations, as I've already mentioned. And then, based on that, it pronounces judgment over Nineveh because of their actions. They are no longer going to get away with what they've been doing. They will be served justice, or justice will be served in their treatment of them. And so they have wielded the sword against others, and now the sword is coming back to them for their treatment of others. And in particular, of course, are God's people of Israel and Judah. And then chapter 3, verses 14 through 19. This is the final section, and it contains a song telling Nineveh to be prepared once again to be destroyed. And then it ends with a funeral lament talking about what has taken place, or what is going to take place, as if it already has taken place. Nineveh, Nineveh has been destroyed, and all of the Ninevites are dead. Ding dong, the witch is dead, right? That's how this is going to end. So, back to chapter 1, verses 2 through 11. Let's look at this in a little bit more detail. The Lord is a jealous and avenging God. The Lord takes vengeance and is filled with wrath. The Lord takes vengeance on his foes and vents his wrath against his enemies. The Lord is slow to anger, but great in power. The Lord will not leave the guilty unpunished. His way is in the whirlwind and the storm, and clouds are the dust of his feet. He rebukes the sea and it dries up. He makes all the rivers run dry. Bashan and Carmel wither, and the blossoms of Lebanon fade. The mountains quake before him, and the hills melt away. The earth trembles at his presence, the world and all who live in it. Who can withstand his indignation? Who can endure his fierce anger? His wrath is poured out like fire. The rocks are shattered before him. The Lord is good, a refuge in times of trouble. He cares for those who trust in him, but with an overwhelming flood, he will make an end of Nineveh. He will pursue his foes into the realm of darkness. Whatever they plot against the Lord, he will bring to an end. Trouble will not come a second time. They will be entangled among thorns and drunk from their wine. They will be consumed like dry stubble. From you, Nineveh, has one come forth who plots evil against the Lord and devises wicked plans. Nahum brings it, doesn't he? Just lays it out there. Get ready, Nineveh. The good, righteous, powerful God is coming to get you. For too long, you've wreaked havoc in that part of the world. For too long, you've gone against the Lord and his people. And when you mess with the Lord's people, you're messing with the Lord. So he's coming for you. So Nahum is very focused prophecy. It is all about the destruction of Nineveh. One focus. So if you struggle to kind of keep attention, you know, as you're reading through things and your mind tends to water and stuff, mind tends to wander, Nineveh is a good book for you. Nahum is a good book for you because it has a laser-like focus. It's about one thing and one thing only, the destruction of Nineveh. So it starts off here in chapter 1, verses 2 through 11, talking about the nature and character of God. It spells out in sort of a systematic way who God is, the one that is truly offering this message, this one that is going to be like a warrior toward Nineveh. When we think about this message that Nahum is proclaiming to God's people and to others, it's so very important that we remember that this is God's message first. Because what we're going to read in Nahum is rather unsettling. Some of what we read, I mean, there's things, I don't know if kids want to read this stuff. The images that it will draw up in our minds is unsettling. But it's important that we remember that this message is rooted completely in the nature and character of God. of God. We have to remember that. And so we have to ask the question, why is the God that is set out the way that he set out in chapter 1, verses 2 through 11, why is he bent on destroying Nineveh? Is God truly one who destroys peoples, cities, and nations? And if so, if this is the God we serve and worship, why is he bent on bringing all this kind of destruction? So let's not forget, this book is thoroughly about God, which, again, might be a little bit unsettling to us. So here's what it says in those first few verses we've looked at tonight. Here's what it says about God. It says that the Lord is jealous. Now, some commentators say in this place, a better word for jealous would be zealous. And what it means in this case is not what it means like in the book of Hosea about being jealous for his people. In Nahum, when it says the Lord is jealous, what it means is he is zealous toward his mission and purposes in the world. So this is about God having a plan, having a desire for the world and for the people that live in the world, and he is going to do whatever he can to see those purposes play out. He's bent on doing things his way. In that way, he's zealous. There's no other plan but God's plan. There's no other way to live other than God's way to live. It also says in verse 2, the Lord takes vengeance on his foes and vents his wrath toward his enemies. God? A vengeous God? One who vents his wrath toward enemies? Really, this is God? What about God being love? What about God being compassion? All of those things. Now, it's important that we hold this together, this idea of him being vengeful. It's important we hold that together with what else we read about in Nahum's message. It says in verse 3 that the Lord is slow to anger. Throughout Scripture, we read that. We know that, right? The Lord is slow to anger. He is patient. So the Lord may vent his wrath toward his enemies, but he is slow to anger. He's patient with people. And what we'll see as we continue to look through this book is that the Lord has been patient with Nineveh as well. Of course, he's a powerful being. His way is in the whirlwind. He rebukes the sea and it dries up. Mountains quake before him. The earth trembles at his presence. The rocks are shattered before him. This is the God we're talking about, all powerful. And then it says, the Lord is good, a refuge in times of trouble. He cares for those who trust in him. So does he take vengeance on his foes? Yes. Is he good and a refuge in times of trouble? Yes. Does he care for those who trust him? Yes. He's all of those things. We're told in verses 9 and 11, and you might want to go back and look at that, but it's mentioned that Nineveh actually plotted against the Lord. And so Nineveh was set against the Lord's way. They wreaked havoc on the Lord's people. And again, when you mess with the Lord's people, you're messing with the Lord. God and his people are in covenant relationship. And so in all of this, I think we need to remember that God was determined to destroy Nineveh, God was not bent on destroying Nineveh because God's in the business of destroying cities and people. It's not about that. I believe rather he's determined to destroy Nineveh because they plotted evil against him and his people. There's a difference there. It's because they were completely set out to promote evil. They were wreaking havoc and peace in what God desired for his people. So Nahum stated that the Lord is good. He said that right in there. The judgment executed against Nineveh was born out of God's goodness, love, and faithfulness. But what we see here is that at this time, God would no longer allow the unjust and hateful treatment of people to continue. God had become fed up. It was time to act. And when he acted against Nineveh, he did so completely and thoroughly. So nothing can stand against the good, perfect, and loving purposes of God. Nothing can stand against them. And Nineveh laying in ruins is a reminder of that truth. They plotted evil against God. It says it twice in that passage. God waited for them to repent. He was patient with them. Yet they continued to plot evil against them. And so destruction was brought on them in a very decisive manner. So it's important that we get that. Let's move on now, 12 through 15. This is what the Lord says. Although they have allies and are numerous, they will be destroyed and pass away. Although I have afflicted you, Judah, I will afflict you no more. Now I will break their yoke from your neck and tear your shackles away. The Lord has given a command concerning you, Nineveh. You will have no descendants to bear your name. I will destroy the images and idols that are in the temple of your gods. I will prepare your grave, for you are vile. Look, there on the mountains, the feet of the one who brings good news, who proclaims peace. Celebrate your festivals, Judah, and fulfill your vows. No more will the wicked invade you. They will be completely destroyed. So Nineveh is going to be destroyed. We've probably gotten that message by now, right? Verse 12, they will be destroyed. Verse 13, I will break their yoke from your neck. Verse 14, you will have no descendants to bear your name. Verse 14, I will prepare your grave, for you are vile. So the message comes through pretty clearly. Nineveh, you're going to be destroyed. But then you also see here good news for Judah. Verse 15, I think, demonstrates how the destruction of Nineveh is a worth saying, this is good news for you, Judah. The messenger comes with a word of peace. Nineveh has been destroyed. There is freedom for you. No longer will you live under the fear of Nineveh or the Assyrians coming to destroy you. They're gone. So God's justice, seen through the destruction of Nineveh, gives reason for celebration for Judah. Again, there is this sense of ding dong, the wicked witch is dead. We're free. We're free. We can carry on like we have before. In chapters 2 and 3, we see more about the destruction of Nineveh. Nahum just lays it on there thick. And so we won't look at all of these passages, but I do want us to look at chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. Chapter 3, 1 through 6 says this. Woe to the city of blood, full of lies, full of plunder, never without victims. The crack of whips, the clatter of wheels, galloping horses and jolting chariots, charging cavalry, flashing swords and glittering spears, many casualties, piles of dead, bodies without number, people stumbling over the corpse, all because of the wanton lust of a prostitute, alluring the mystery of sorceries, who enslave nations by her prostitution and peoples by her witchcraft. I am against you, declares the Lord Almighty. I will lift your skirts over your face. I will show the nations your nakedness and the kingdoms your shame. I will pelt you with filth. I will treat you with contempt and make you a spectacle. Okay. So like I said, Nahum lays it on pretty thick. Verses 1 through 3 there, it shows a description of, in very vivid imagery of the destruction of Nineveh. We see it's a very bloody massacre. It's incredibly descriptive. You can see this taking place, right? Again, Nahum is a wordsmith. There's flashing swords and glittering spears. It's like you can just watch this happen. You can hear it as well. There's crack of whips. And there's a clatter of wheels. Your senses can take it in. A smell as well. There are corpses laying around. You're stepping over them. Again, in no uncertain terms, Nineveh will be destroyed. And then we see more about Nineveh's wrongdoing. They were set against the people of God. Nahum compares Nineveh to a prostitute and a witch. Not very kind words for anyone. They were evil in their treatment of their neighbors, ruthless, vile, brutal people. And so the language that is used here, I just want us to see this. This is God speaking. He says, I will lift your skirts over your face. I will show the nations your nakedness. You are shameful as a people. I will pelt you with filth. Now, I'm not going to describe what that word filth means, but use your imagination a little bit. This is God speaking. I will treat you with contempt and make you a spectacle. What I want us to get from this, first and foremost, is again, the anger that God feels towards Nineveh comes primarily because of how Nineveh treated his people. We talk about the covenant faithfulness of God. How jealous is God for his people? How deep is his love for his people? When you mess with his people, it moves him to say things like that. I will lift your skirt over your head. I will pelt you with filth. And it's unsettling for us to hear God say that. God doesn't say that kind of stuff, right? How do you flannel graph that? You can't. But you have to remember that he's moved to say this because of his love and fidelity toward his people. It's a deep, abiding love. So let's listen to the final words of Nahum's message, chapter 3, verses 18 and 19. It says, King of Assyria, your shepherds slumber, your nobles lie down to rest. Your people are scattered on the mountains with no one to gather them. Nothing can heal you. Your wound is fatal. All who hear the news about you clap their hands at your fall. For who has not felt your endless cruelty? So there's like this funeral lament, right? Nineveh has experienced complete devastation. Everyone is dead. And if they're not dead, they're going to die soon. They have an incurable wound. And listen what it says. The surrounding peoples clap at Nineveh's calamity. There's justice in this. I don't know how it all plays out, but there's justice in Nineveh getting what's been coming toward them. The peoples around them clap. We're free. We do no longer have to worry about being besieged by the Assyrians. Just a few things to note and we'll be done. The first is this, that God is completely set against evil. Completely set against it. God's justice will prevail. This is important as Christians. This side of the cross is that at the cross, God's justice was seen most clearly. Looking at the cross is a reminder of how set against evil God really is. That it would go to that length, that kind of sacrifice. Dietrich Bonhoeffer has a term called cheap grace. And the idea of cheap grace is that we can just kind of live the way that we want. We can do all the things our hearts desire because we're people that are saved by grace, right? God loves us. God's moved to grace. But what Bonhoeffer would say is, that's cheap grace. You are forgetting about the power and the seriousness of the cross. God was definitively conquering evil at the cross. And if you are just going to say, well, we can do whatever you want, you're forgetting about the cost of grace, the cost of freeing you from the bondage of sin. God is completely set against evil. Secondly, God in this, this is important too, in the message of Nahum, it is God who is the avenger, not the people. God is the warrior. God is the one that is set against Nineveh, not the people. And as we think about vengeance and revenge and things like that, we need to keep in mind that it was God who was who said to the Assyrians, the Ninevites, I am against you. This wasn't about the people. Again, when you mess with God's people, you mess with God. And then the last thing, Nineveh did a lot of things wrong, but one of the things that we can learn from Nineveh and the Assyrians is that greed and power are very dangerous. Greed and power are very dangerous. Ultimately, much of the reason why Nineveh is getting what's coming to them, it had to do with their greed and power. And it played itself out in how they treated the surrounding nations. And because of their desire for more power, more land, more resources, they set themselves against all other people, not treating people the way that people should be treated. Instead, greed and power, this desire for more, meant that they treated people ruthlessly. And because of that, God's anger was provoked, and he went after them because of that. So let's keep that in mind as well. So that's in a nutshell, in a small nutshell, that's Nahum's message. But take heed of God, one who acts on behalf of his people. If there's anybody here tonight that needs the prayers of this assembly or is ready to be baptized, here in a moment, Willie's going to lead a song for us. And as we stand and sing this, you can come forward if you need anything. Let's go ahead and stand and sing.